peace in our homes and no arguments in our homes. And wearing a cross or displaying a cross in a room is not going to end all your arguments or your disputings, as much of a nice reminder it might be. Oh, to have peace in the nations of our world, free from war and fightings, and peace among the different races of people in our world today. Oh, to have this peace. In this COVID-19 pandemic, loss of health, loss of lives, losing family members, and loss of employment for some, and the uncertainty of the future, the economic uncertainty, the political tensions, and racism, and some of our freedoms being taken away, and a seemingly conspiracy against the church and any anti-God socialist movement that is happening today, to say the least, we are living in a fear-ravaged world that desperately needs the peace that only Jesus can give. So what is the answer to peace in our homes, and in our communities, and in our workplaces, in our schools, and among different races of society, and peace in our world? What is the answer? Well, with what joy we can turn to God's holy word, amen, and find the answer. We can discover God's remedy for tensions and fear-ravaged people, and God's provision for true peace in the word of God. You see, the answer for man's troubled heart is not our government leaders. It's not our psychologists. It's not medications. There's only one answer, and that is through the peace in our hearts that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can give to any one of us. We are in the Gospel of John this morning. One of my favorite chapters in all the Bible is John chapter 14. Jesus in John chapter 14 is speaking to those of his disciples, his followers, who had troubled, fearful hearts over the Lord's words that he had just spoken, that he was going to be leaving them. And this really brought a sense of a troubled heart to them, a deeply concerned heart in their lives. So let me read some of the key verses of this chapter, of John chapter 14. Let me begin here with verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now we jump down to verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works of themselves. And verse 13, and whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And then verse 18, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And then jump down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then we have this great promise, which is the key text of today's message. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Here we have survival number 14. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Or as I've entitled today's message, simply, peace for troubled hearts. Father, we all need this message. We all need a message of peace for our troubled hearts. The world needs that message. And Lord, we thank you so much that your word gives us the answer for the peace that is needed in our troubled hearts. And that comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ himself that is extended to anyone who lives on planet Earth. The invitation is all to all. come to you to find the peace with God, the peace of God that only you can give to any heart who will seek you in these troublesome times. So we ask, Lord, your anointing upon your word this morning on these lips. In eyes behind the cross, we lift up the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask once again that your word would take root into the hearts and the soil of our hearts here this morning and make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus here in John chapter 14 calms the troubled hearts of these disciples by giving them five assurances to lay hold of. Assurances that we too today may claim and thus experience an untroubled heart. We're just going to look at three this morning, and let the Lord, we're pulling another Sunday, we'll look at two more. Assurance number one, you are going to heaven. How many believe that this morning? You are going to heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are going to heaven. And we see that here in verses 1 to 6. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Where I go, you know the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we know not where you are going, and how can we know the way? And then Jesus says these powerful words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Of course, Jesus is talking to his disciples here, or his followers, those who have believed in him as Lord and Savior, and who being the only way to the Father in heaven, as Jesus says here in verse 6, they are the ones who will go to heaven. That is those who believe in Jesus Christ, who is the only way. Verse 6 again makes that very clear. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father who is in heaven, right? But by me, or except through me. So is that clear? Do you see it here? Jesus is the only way to heaven. How many believe that? Amen. There is no other way, right? There is no other way to heaven where the Father is, not religion. Not what church you attend, not the Pope or Muhammad or Buddha or any minister, not by our baptism or our confirmation, not because I live in a Christian home or because Dad is a Christian or Mom is a Christian or my grandmother is a Christian. That's not going to get me to heaven, right? We all have to come to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior personally ourselves. Every one of us must make that decision in order to get to heaven and to be able to live forever with God. John 3:16. Many of you know that verse, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in the church, believeth in your baptism, believeth in the Pope or whoever, no, believeth in Jesus, will get yourself into heaven, into everlasting life. Just quickly, what kind of place is heaven? I love to think about heaven, don't you? How many are with me on that one? Huh? Boy, oh boy, we don't need to be thinking about this world around us. We need to be thinking more about heaven, right? This world is not our home. Heaven is our home, right? So we need to be thinking more about heaven. So what are some things about heaven that we need to be thinking about? Well, for one thing, heaven is a real place. Amen? Heaven is a real place. Verse 2, Jesus says he's going to prepare what? A place. A place. So it's a real place. It's as real as your birthplace, wherever that was. It's as real as Burke's Corner, New Brunswick. How many of you have ever been to Disneyland before? Yeah, some of you have, yeah. It's as real as Disneyland is. And it's going to be much better than Disneyland, right? It's not a product of religious imagination or the result of psyched-up mentality or looking for a pie in the sky, by-and-by kind of thing. That's not what it's about. Heaven is a loving place. Why? Because our loving Heavenly Father lives in heaven. And he indeed is a loving God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He's a loving God. Then in 1 John 4:16, not 3:16, but 1 John 4:16, we read these words, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. So it's a loving place because he is a loving God. Heaven is a dwelling place. There'll be room for everyone up in heaven who believes in Jesus Christ, right? 1,400 square miles of space they'll be in heaven, not just the city of heaven. Heaven is a dwelling place. Plenty of room for all of God. Heaven is a prepared place. Verse 2 says, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place. It's a prepared place. And since he has been preparing heaven for some 2,000 years now, it's got to be out of this world. Amen? To think of his creation that he made in 6 days and how amazing his creation is, he's been preparing heaven for 2,000 years. Friends, this has got to be out of this world. Out of beyond our wildest dreams and imaginations and expectations, heaven is going to be. And I can't wait to go there and experience all the splendor of heaven. And most of all, to get to see Jesus is going to make heaven just the best place in all the world to live in. So it's a prepared place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Right? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Not just anybody can go to heaven. We don't believe in a universal salvation that everybody who lives on planet Earth can go to heaven. No. As some teach. No. You have to make a choice to believe in Jesus, who is the only way to heaven, in order to get into heaven. There's only one door, right? And that door is Jesus. There's no other way I can get into heaven. This prepared place, it's prepared for prepared people. You have to be prepared. You have to prepare to hear. You have to know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior in order to get into that place called heaven. The you here is all who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. I go to prepare a place for you. He's talking to believers here, to followers of Christ who put their faith in Christ. Are you one of those prepared people? Our prayer that you are. And that if you are not prepared, that you would prepare even today by coming to faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, the peace that just knowing I'm going to heaven floods my soul, does it not? Flood your soul this morning? Just to know you're going to heaven someday. Does that give you peace? Oh, it does, doesn't it? Do you have this peace of knowing you are going to heaven when you die? Oh, what amazing peace it is. Assurance number two. You know the Father right now. You know the Father right now. Verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? We see the deity of Christ. Very God, right? Verse 10, do you not believe that I am he in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So his very works prove that he is very God. And his very words prove that he is very God. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Again, note verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. So if you know Jesus, the Son, you'll know the Father. Because the Son is God himself. What then was Jesus saying? He was simply saying that Jesus is saying here that the Father of Christ does not have to wait until heaven to get to know the Father. We can get to know the Father right now through the Son, Jesus Christ. We can know him today, and we can receive from him all the spiritual resources we need to keep going, even when the days are difficult or troublesome. It's all in the person of Jesus Christ, knowing him. Knowing the Father, being able to call him Abba, Daddy, Father, right now, through Christ, through knowing Christ, who is the visible evidence in word and works of the Father, can bring such a calm to our spiritual, to our troubled hearts today. Sure beats any antidepressant drugs that one might take, right? Just simply coming to Jesus and knowing him in a personal way can calm our troubled hearts like nothing else, to know that he indeed is one with the Father. So Jesus invites any child of God here today, or wherever you might be today, those who might be listening in today, come unto me, Jesus says. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest or peace. And so we can come to him with our heavy burden, knowing that he is God, and know that he will help us, being very God, and that he will calm our troubled hearts, knowing that he is very God himself. Knowing my Heavenly Father has the whole world in his hands, and he is right there with us. He's got my back. Creates a wonderful peace within my soul. Assurance number three, you have the privilege of prayer. You have the privilege of prayer. And we see this privilege of prayer here in verse 12 and following. Most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Then he says in verse 13, and whatsoever you ask, this is prayer, in my name I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, what a privilege prayer is. You've seen that song, that hymn, don't you? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to prayer. What a privilege it is to carry to him everything to God in prayer. What a privilege it is for every child of God, that is those of us who know the Father through the Son, and through the new birth, to now pray to the Father. The word is Abba, which is the word for Father, for Daddy. Our Father, Jesus taught us, which art in heaven, right? Our Father, we're to pray to him as our Father. Jesus taught us to pray that. So just think of it this way. To be able to come into the very presence of God boldly through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, and to ask him for whatever is something very special for every child of God. To think that we can come to God through prayer, what a privilege that is. And the Apostle Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, not sure if it was Paul or not, the writer of Hebrews said that we become bold in the throne of grace, find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. And the neat thing about it is I can pray to him at any time of the day or night, or and anywhere I can pray to him. Wherever I might be, I can pray to him. When I'm at school, I can pray to him. When I'm at work, I can pray to him. When I'm driving in my vehicle, here or there, I can pray to him. In the morning, through the day, at night. I wake up and I can't sleep. I can, instead of counting sheep, I can talk to the shepherd, right? Anytime, I can do that. And I never get a busy signal. Isn't that good, hey? Never get a busy signal. Or, will you please hold while I help this person on the end of the line? We never get any of that, do we? When we come to God in prayer. So here we have the best remedy in all the world for a troubled heart, and that is believing prayer. Believing prayer. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, that is the believing, the saved ones. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and notice this, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Wow, what a powerful verse. As you pray, God's going to hear your prayers. You pray in faith, believing, from a righteous heart, a clean heart before God. He's going to deliver you from all your troubles and the things that trouble your heart that cause you to be fearful or anxious. But please note, for God to answer our prayers and give us peace in our troubled hearts, there are some conditions that must be met. First of all, we must pray in faith. We must pray in faith. And we discover this in the words of Jesus here in verse 12, where he says, he that believeth on me. Again, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Another word for believing here is faith. James 1:6 says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Someone described faith this way. Faith is praying for rain and then having your umbrella out. I like that. When you pray, do you really pray in faith believing God will answer your prayer? Secondly, we must pray in Christ's name or in Jesus' name. That's why we enter our prayer in Jesus' name. Verse 13 and 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name or in Jesus' name, that will I do. Father, and glorify the Son. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. So to ask anything of the Father in Jesus' name means that we ask what Jesus would ask. and what would please him, and what would bring him glory, and that what would further his work. That's what we pray. And so when Jesus says here, in my name, it means that it has the Holy Spirit's approval and his authority or authorization behind it. It's like when you have a check and you sign that check with your name on it, you are authorizing the value of that check and the approval of it to be cashed. Your name gives that authority. And who gives us authority to pray and enter into God's presence? It's in the name of Jesus. So if I pray for our own benefit, if I pray for my own benefit, my own interests, and my selfless needs, and not for the glory of God and for his will to be done, do you think that God's going to answer my prayer? No, definitely not. It has to be in his name. In other words, for his interest, for his glory, for his benefit, for his praise, and not mine. And that's why John penned these words in the little John's, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He said this, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that doesn't live all selfish prayers. Prayers for my own benefit, my own praise, my own glory, my own attention. No, it's praying about his will to be done. He hears us. And then verse 15, and we know that he hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we are praying in the will of God, but the will of God to be done, not our own selfish wants and desires to be done. Then we know that we will have our prayers heard and God will answer accordingly. So we must pray in Christ's name. Thirdly, we must pray in loving obedience. In loving obedience, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Christ is teaching us here that we can't just go and live as we please. You know, eat, drink, and be merry. Today we live, tomorrow we die kind of thing. Just do whatever I want to do. And, you know, just kind of be free to do that. No, he's not teaching us that we can do that. We can't just do as we please and live in sin and disobedience to his commandments and live no differently than the ungodly world around us and live for me, myself, and I and expect God to answer my prayers. He's not going to answer my prayers by living that way. You see, his promise to answer our prayers is conditioned upon the fact that I show my love to him and I obey his commandments. Then he's going to answer my prayers. Disobedient Christians ought not to expect answers to their prayers. God will not answer the prayers of a disobedient carnal Christian. What does Psalm 66:18 say? If I regard iniquity or sins in my heart, he will not hear me. For example, if God has commanded me to love my neighbor, or to love that person at school, or to love that person at work, and I don't love them, will God answer my prayers? He's not going to answer my prayers. And if I'm not forgiving somebody, is God going to answer my prayers? No. Not until I forgive it. If I hold ill will against someone, or if I'm angry at someone, is God going to hear my prayers? If I hate someone, is God going to hear my prayers? No. He will not until I have my heart right with him. So the point is here is the people who get their prayers answered are people who are obeying God and who are obeying God's commands. You can know your prayers will be answered. Peace for a troubled heart. You want peace for your troubled, anxious, perhaps fearful heart. Only as you open up your heart to the God of peace, Jesus Christ, and allow him into the throne of your heart, when you experience this peace. When you repent, that is, you turn away from the pathway of sin and you receive Jesus Christ into your life by believing in him and his death and his resurrection, then and only then can you become his child. John 1:12 tells us that, right? But as many as receive him, as receive Jesus, to them gave you the power or the right or the authority to become children of God. So why not receive him into your life today, if you haven't already done so? And when you receive him into your life, then you will have an untroubled heart. Even when everything around you is troubling, you can have a peaceful time. That's an amazing thing about the Christian life, is it not? And then you too will have the thrilling assurance that you are going to heaven someday. And that you know the Father right now through the Son, Jesus. And that you have a right to call him Abba, or Daddy, or Father, and enter into the most amazing relationship. A relationship with God who created you to know him and to glorify him as your God, your Redeemer, your Creator. And that you have the awesome privilege of now talking to him in prayer. Any time of the day or night, 24/7, right? What a privilege that is. Who would want that? Oh, that blessedness of knowing his peace. I know the promise of Psalm 29:11 for every child of God that says this, the Lord will give strength to his people. And then notice this, the Lord will bless his people with peace. Who wants to bless you this morning with peace? I close with this heartbreaking story of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford was a businessman in Chicago, Illinois, who had sent his wife and three beautiful daughters to Europe by ship while he remained back in the United States, intending to join them later. En route, there was a terrible storm that had come up, and a shipwreck happened during which their three daughters drowned in the shipwreck. And Mrs. Spafford survived. She made it to safety, and she wired back a message to her husband, the father of these three daughters. All of our daughters had been lost and drowned at sea. And I am only the one that's been saved. Mr. Spafford, of course, heartbroken, heartsick, grieving, took the next vessel, the next ship that he could, and as they came near to the place where his daughters drowned, the skipper of the ship pointed to the place where the other ship had gone down. And it was there on the deck of that ship that he wrote these stirring words. Wend peace, like a river, and it's my way. Wend sorrows, like sea billows. Whatever my life, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Hence the inauguration of perhaps one of the greatest hymns ever written and a favorite of many. It is well with my soul. Written on the deck of that ship, at the spot in which his three daughters had drowned. It was well with Horatio Spafford and his soul that day. He had peace in his soul when after just losing three beautiful daughters at sea. I wonder, can you, my friend, say, it is well with my soul? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for this message this morning, reminding us how we can have